Om du gillar den här podcasten och vill att den ska fortsätta så kan du välja att stödja den via Patreon. Om du gör det är du med i utlottningen av unika muggar som handmålats av gästerna. Du får nya avsnitt 2 dagar före alla andra. Du får lyssna på podcasten utan reklam och du får ett signerat exemplar av min best of-bok Text med texter om popmusik. Som supporter på Patreon är du också förstås med på min lista över världens rent objektivt snällaste människor.
Hey, I'm Skinned. I'm at Frederick's flat in Stockholm right now and I make true crime music.
It feels amazing to have an international guest here. It's been so long. Yeah, and you've come all the way from the 7th circle of hell, I suppose.
Yes, from a very dark place.
Yeah. Actually, your birth name and your nationality have been kept secret, so yes. No one really knows that.
Yes. And I really want to keep it that way. And or trying to keep it that way.
Good luck.
Yeah, thanks.
But Skinned is both your name and the name of your
imaginary friend.
Your group.
Obviously of my group too, but actually the name Skin comes from my imaginary friend who appeared when I was like 3 years old.
Oh.
And he's still here.
Okay, so Skinned is not a duo consisting of you and father, your partner.
It is, because when I met my imaginary friend when I was 3, he introduced himself as Skinned. And he whispered all those horrible stories in my ears, told me about, like, I think I was 6 or 7 years old when I heard about Gary Heidnik for the very first time. And he just showed me that there is not just good in the world, but also bad. And when I got older, I felt like those stories were so heavy, so I had to get it off my chest. And then I started writing music, and he gave me the idea to actually write lyrics to music. And then I was searching for a name, and I was like, why am I not just call myself Skinned as well, because Skinned, when you say it, it sounds a bit like Skinned, and it's actually a great name for a band that writes songs about true crime. I mean, Skinned, to be Skinned, my music should go under your skin. So that's where the name came to be.
And how did this imaginary friend appear to you the first time? You said that you were 3 years old.
I was 3 years old, and I was in my room trying to sleep. I mean, the childhood memories I have, he was sitting in a corner and he was pale skin, but he was same age as me. He was a child as well back then. And we actually grew up together and he introduced himself. And in the beginning, I was a bit afraid because I had this cassette tape playing like a child's story and he slowed it down. So the actors or the vocals were like super, super pitched down. And I was afraid in the beginning. But then I saw him and we started talking and he got my best friend. He's my best friend since then.
And you've slowed down or pitched down your own vocals on a lot of tracks.
One of the main reasons why I do that, yeah.
But how did you know that he was imaginary?
Because no one else saw him. Because I told my mom, that's my new friend. And she was like, who? Huh? Who? Where? What? Huh? So, yeah, that's when I felt like, okay, I'm the only one seeing him.
I think you mentioned somewhere that this happened around the time that your grandfather passed away.
Yeah, it was a bit later, to be fair. It was a bit later.
That he passed away,
oh. Yeah. Yeah.
And did that imaginary friend help you out in any way with your grief?
It did, actually, because he was there for me because I'm an only child. That's what I can. That's an information I want to share. I'm an only child. I have ADHD, and he was the only one being there for me in really difficult times. And he was always there. He was always listening, and he was the one, you know, discussing all those true crime stories with me when no one else wanted to discuss those stories because I was still a child.
And the first true crime story that he told you of was Gary
Heidnik, the one who...
Who was that?
Gary Heidnik was a serial killer from America, and he kidnapped 6 women and kept them captivated in a cellar. In his cellar, he made like a hole and put them down there, and he just fed them like one bread or a little bit of water a day. And they had this little TV screen, and he kept them like entertained with this little TV screen. And one info that really kept or stuck with me was that he fed dog food to them, but he mixed one of his victims with it and fed it to his victims because they saw an advertising on TV of dog food. And because they were so starving, they were like, oh my God, it looks so good. Oh my God, look at this. And he heard that. So when this one woman died, he mixed it together with dog food so the remains won't be found. And then he fed it to the victims.
And you heard this story as a, what, like a 10-year-old?
Yeah, 9.
Okay. How did you take to that? You know, you must have been petrified.
I was. And that's when I learned that I have to get it off my chest. I have to write about it. I was really, really young when I started writing this notebook I'm always writing in. And yeah, it was heavy. I was too young, actually, because I couldn't sleep for days. I was petrified. I was like scared, but you know.
Do you know why your imaginary friend told you all of this? Was it
because he wanted to show me that there is not just, we're not living in a pink world. You know, it's not just like beautiful and everything is like Disney World, but we also have like bad people in this world. And he wanted to put a light on it or that I don't forget that there are bad people out there too. And not just, you cannot just trust everyone. It's just not possible. So, that was the reason why.
So I guess you were super scared of being kidnapped by a serial killer when you grew up.
No, actually not. I mean, yeah. I mean, obviously I had those dreams when I had one dream when I was a child, maybe I was 10 or 11, and I dreamt about walking into a forest and someone would kidnap me and would murder me. That was one of the dreams I had. But I was a weird kid. I mean, come on, reading true crime stories or hearing true crime stories in that age is kind of weird, but I could handle it somehow.
What were you like in school?
You know, I had ADHD, so I wasn't really focused. I was hyper, really hyper. And I lived in my own fantasy world. I didn't have a lot of friends besides my imaginary friend. And I was all by myself. I was a loner. But I was happy. I was happy.
Hello. Is there anybody in there? Just not if you can hear me. Is there anyone?
So this is Comfortably Numb by Pink Floyd.
Come on now. Get you on your feet again.
I picked this song because I grew up with Pink Floyd, The Wall. Comfortably Numb is one of my favorite songs because it just speaks to me. It makes me really emotional, gives me a lot of goosebumps, and I think that the guitar solo is one of the best guitar solos ever played.
Does your imaginary friend still appear to you?
Mm-hmm. He's here.
Oh.
Yeah.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Is he happy with...
He is. I should
have given him some coffee, but I...
No, he's fine.
Okay.
He doesn't like coffee. No, I mean, he just follows me around. He's there for me. He didn't like the festival, though. It was too loud for him. So sometimes when I play live, he doesn't appear.
Yeah, because you just played at the festival in France or in...
No, in Czech Republic.
In the Czech Republic.
I can't... it was Prague, but it was... another city I can't really pronounce, so it was out of Prague.
And that was your first show for a pretty long time.
1.5 years. Yeah, I couldn't play live for 1.5 years. And Rock for People was the first festival we could play, finally, again. Yeah.
I saw some pictures from the festival with people wearing your makeup in the audience.
Yeah, that was... it's still new to me. I mean, I'm not... really long in this business, so I'm not used to have people really following me or supporting me or doing my makeup. And when I saw it, I was like, it's amazing. It's like you really move people, and people really like you, and that's a great feeling after a long time not performing, you know.
When you first got together with Father, your musical partner, did you come from the same kind of musical background, or was he more into heavy metal than you, or the other way around?
He was a little bit more into heavy metal than I was, but we had the same interest, and that was true crime. I mean, I met him in Australia at the Bush party.
A Bush party.
I think that's
in the wilderness?
It's in the wilderness. Yeah, oh. Yeah, yeah. You get like an invite, and then you go there. And then there's music playing and drinks and people, and everyone's dancing at the beach. It's beautiful. And so I was there, and I saw a guy on a rock at the ocean or at the sea, and he was rocking back and forth like this, super weird. And I was looking at him, I was like, huh? You look weird, but I need to get to know you. So I was approaching him and sitting next to him, and I introduced myself, and he was like, I knew that we're gonna meet. I knew that. I felt this connection as well. When I saw him rocking back and forth, I was like, there's some kind of like a connection already there. And it's weird. I never felt that before. And the next day we went to the studio. We talked about true crime. We went to the studio and we started making music. And that was a match made in heaven.
Was he wearing...
Or in hell.
Was he wearing his like fully covering leather mask at that point? No.
No, he wasn't. No, that was my idea because he doesn't want to show his face. So I had the idea with the mask. And I was like, why don't you just wear a mask? And he was like, yeah, that's actually a cool idea. And I was like, yeah, I mean... It's simple.
Why the name Father?
That's how he introduced himself. He was like, hey, I'm F. You can call me Father. I was like, okay,
at the
cool.
Bush party?
At the Bush party.
Oh.
Yeah.
And how long ago was that, the Bush party?
That was 2016 when I went to Australia. Yeah.
You mentioned that the name Skinned, you know, it's a reference to getting under your skin with the music, but of course it's also a common thing in... movies about serial killers, that they skin people.
Exactly.
It makes you think of Silence of the Lambs.
Leatherface.
And just skinning people is... there's this Swedish band called Dismember. who like a death metal band, mm-hmm. and they put out their debut album 30 years ago, back in 1991, and they had copies seized by the British customs, mm-hmm. and the distributor was prosecuted. There was this obscenity trial, and the customs were upset with a track called Skin Her Alive.
Oh, wow.
Which was based on a real murder case here in Stockholm.
Oh, interesting.
Someone in Rinkeby, a suburb north of Stockholm, killed his wife and skinned her.
Oh, fuck.
So they wrote a song about that, and it was considered considered obscene by the, you know,
When was
the
UK. That?
Was back in 1992, I think.
Yeah, and I think that the time wasn't the right. I think that wasn't the right time to actually make music about true crime. I mean, there was that other band called Massacre.
Yeah,
they wrote songs about Jeffrey Dahmer, and they had those concept albums where they were actually just talking about, I don't know, Jeffrey Dahmer, for example. But it wasn't the right time, I guess. People weren't ready back then.
Well, not for music, but there was this huge like pop culture.
It was, but that's why it's so interesting. It's so interesting that the music, it wasn't the right time for the music, but for everything else, you know, or like the horror movies or the true crime books came out back then.
Everyone was talking about serial killers back then.
Exactly. But the music, they weren't ready for music. It's kind of weird, though. Still is. Some people aren't ready for true crime music, which is weird.
I think maybe that's because people still assume that if they hear a singer singing about something, they think that that person is kind of promoting what they're singing about.
But we're not. So,
you know, they. That's why Marilyn Manson got into trouble.
Exactly.
After Columbine,
exactly.
Which you did a song about.
Yes,
Columbine, the Columbine school shooting.
Columbine school shooting, yeah.
You know, imagine if Manson had done that back in the 90s, he would have been crucified.
But I really liked that the movie Bowling for Columbine. When Michael Moore did the interview with Marilyn Manson, and Marilyn Manson said one thing like pretty straight up, if they would have listened to Britney Spears, would they have done the same thing to Britney Spears too? Probably not. And that's so weird, just because we make dark music, it's not that we, you know, support those acts.
No.
Not at all. Like Columbine is something it's disgusting that this is still happening, in my opinion, that the gun law hasn't changed. And it's like it was 1999. Nothing has changed. It's still the same. And that's, in my opinion, that's kind of, I don't know. I can't find of it, but it's kind of disgusting to me that people are like ignoring the fact that guns just kill people. And it's not just for safety. It's just stupid, in my opinion.
Guns don't kill people. Rappers do. was an old song, and I can't remember the artist. But anyway, your video for the song Columbine, mm-hmm. which you shot in black and white, was very beautiful and sort of reminded me of this Gus Van Sant movie called Elephant,
Elephant,
which is also
exactly,
about
yeah.
the same shooting.
Yes, yes, that was also an influence as well. You know, it was a really tough song to write, also to produce a video too. I mean, I have 95 different versions of Columbine. We worked on this song for maybe 1.5 years.
And how do those versions differ? What parts of the song did you feel, you know,
like
unsure
about? Like the da-da-da changed a lot. I wasn't sure if I really want to do that.
As a chorus?
As a chorus. The verses changed. I had more lyrics. But I wanted to break it down. I didn't want it to have too much lyrics in it because this case speaks volume. If you read Columbine, everyone knows what you're talking about. And I was like, why? I don't want to give away too much information. It's enough what I actually have in the lyrics right now. But we changed it. Like the music changed, the drums changed, and the chorus changed. Everything. The intro changed. We didn't have the kids in the intro. We didn't have the school clock. You can hear that, like this ringing. We didn't have that. We just changed it a lot, and we wanted to change the topic as well, because there was another shooting. Now it's embarrassing because I don't remember his name. It was 1961. It was the shooting, the university shooting in Texas, where this one guy went up to the university tower and he was shooting down. And that was actually one of the first school shootings ever happened. And before I was like, maybe I want to write about this because it's longer gone than Columbine, because Columbine is, still feels new to me. But then I was like, no, fuck it, I'm going to do it.
What's weird about Columbine is that, you know, the Virginia Tech massacre was a lot worse.
Exactly.
A lot more people died.
Yeah.
But people don't, you know, didn't leave the same kind of
no
footprint in history.
No. No.
Columbine still feels kind of sensitive because
it is.
It was such a shock.
Yes, it is. I mean, yeah, it's weird because also, like, I mean, I don't want to talk about the shooters or name them, but I mean, both of them have mental problems. Teachers were aware of that. No one was doing a thing. So this is Running Up That Hill by Kate Bush. It doesn't hurt me. Singer, songwriter, I adore the most. She's one of my favorite artists. Great, great woman, great music. I grew up with this music. I grew up with this song. Still is one of my favorite songs, and I have it in my recently played, like, forever.
Your latest song is named after Michelle Carter, this mm-hmm. American teenager who encouraged her boyfriend to commit suicide by texting him mm-hmm. to his cell phone
yeah.
until he gassed himself in his car.
Yeah.
And you quote her text messages in the lyrics.
Yeah.
Do it early, do it now, and mm-hmm. I love you, now die. That's really, really scary.
It is scary. When I read those texts, or when I heard about that case and I read those texts, I was like, how can you text someone to kill himself? I mean, it's a really modern case, you know. This couldn't have happened in back in the 80s, because smartphones weren't invented. And the purpose why I wanted to cover that song, or that case, or translate that case into music, was words can kill. She's not a murderer in that, like John Wayne Gacy or Catherine Knight or whatever. But words can kill, and mental health is something we need to talk about.
Yeah,
I feel like
she was also his girlfriend.
She was trusting her as well.
Yeah, and she was the only one who really listened to him. And mm-hmm. he felt that she could relate to his mental problems because she had like an eating disorder.
Exactly.
So they were super close.
Mentally ill as well. And I mean, there's a lot of information about that case. And I mean, I investigate those cases like into details. And yes, she was actually trying to get him out of it. But she turned. She turned, and then she encouraged him to kill himself. And she had a chance, or she had a choice. She could have called his mother and tell her what's going on, but she didn't. And that's why I was a bit like, she's not that innocent, how she played in court, you know? She had the chance to actually call his friends, call his mother, call his family. I don't know. I don't care. Call 911 or whatever number you have to dial.
Or maybe she really felt that, you know, suicide was his best option. You know, maybe she really, really felt that, you know, you will be more happy this way.
Mm. But yeah,
it's still
it's for me. That's
it's still
what
horrible,
I'm saying.
But it's, you know, maybe she really felt that she was helping him.
And that's, I think this is one of those cases I will never have an answer. Why were you doing that? Why? Why? There's no proper reason to do that. There's, and she never talked about it. She's out of jail. She had her jail time, which I feel like too short.
Yeah, she got like 15 months for involuntary manslaughter. Yeah,
and then she was in for like 12, got out. Now she's living her best life. Great. I don't know if she's living, that's sarcastic, but I'm just saying, like, I don't think that she's living her best life. And I feel actually kind of sorry for her too, because her life's fucked.
How much sympathy do you like develop for these people who's a lot of other people called monsters? When you read about them, do you feel sorry for them sometimes?
Sometimes, yeah. I don't want to say I sympathize with them, because that's the wrong word. I feel sorry. I feel sorry that they had, I mean, some of them had a brutal childhood, were beaten or were, you know, were sexually abused or whatever, or neglected or whatever. But it was their decision to do what they did. So I can't feel sorry for that. It's interesting what they did. It's in some kind of way, it's fascinating, but I can't sympathize with it. It's sad that maybe they had a chance to actually get better if they would have help, or they would get help, you know, or professional help. But in the end, it was their decision. And some of them are really ill and they really don't get it, because there's such like psychopath that they, you know, in the brain, you have those, you know, those parts where you have the empathy, and they just don't feel empathy. So they don't really know that they're doing something wrong. And that's kind of, it's hard to understand that as a normal person. But that's something really hard to, you know, to ignore. Because if they don't have this empathy, how would they know that they're doing something wrong? You know, and that's where I start maybe sympathizing with them a little, because they don't know any better. They just don't know. And they're still humans, maybe horrible human beings, but they're still a human being, you know.
I know that you played a new song the other night when you played at this festival in the Czech Republic, a song called John Wayne Gacy,
yeah,
who was this American serial killer who also worked as a party clown.
Yes, he was. He was Pogo the Clown. Pogo the Clown, and he used to perform at charities or at kids' birthday parties, which makes it super creepy. And he was a well known member in the community. Everyone liked him. No one actually wanted to know what he's actually doing. And he killed 33 boys, kept them in the not the cellar, it was the I have it in the lyrics,
basement,
no, it's the
crypt,
oh wow, that's embarrassing.
Cave,
it's not, it's like underneath the house, but it's not a cellar, it's like in the end of my mind. What was it again? Yeah, but let's call it cellar.
Dungeon.
No, it wasn't a dungeon. But it was like, let's call it a cellar. And he put them underneath his house. And the neighbors started smelling something. And they were like, that's kind of weird. But they weren't doing anything. And he kept doing what he was doing. So, yeah.
And then in prison, he did a lot of paintings of clowns.
Of him and of himself.
Of himself, yeah. And they sold for, I know that Johnny Depp bought one, I think.
Oh, I don't know.
They,
he did?
Yes, I think so. They were quite popular in the 90s.
And he actually made profit with it. It's kind of weird to do that. But, you know, I mean, I know that Jonathan Davis owns the screwdriver of Gary Heidnik. You know, the screwdriver he put into their ears to actually make them like the, how you say that?
The eardrum?
Yeah. So they don't hear when he's coming down the stairs.
He pushed the screwdriver into their ears,
yeah,
to make them deaf?
Yeah.
That's awful.
Because they could hear, because he was listening on top of the stairs, he was listening what they were talking about. And then he heard that they know when he's coming down, and he didn't want that. So he wanted to make them deaf?
Deaf, yeah.
Yeah. Sad.
So Jonathan Brutal. Davis from Korn owns that screwdriver.
Yes,
and you worked with Jonathan Davis.
Yes, I did.
It was one of the first things that you did. How did you hook up with him?
That was actually, it was a coincidence, which I don't believe in coincidence. I think everything is planned, that what's happening. But we had a mixing guy called Eric Gracie from LA, and Father was sending those songs to him and he was mixing it, but he was working with Jonathan Davis that time on, I think, his solo album. And Jonathan Davis was in the studio and he was listening to those songs and he was like, who's that girl? Who is she? Because he's a huge serial killer fan or fanatic as well. And then he listened to Gary Hyde and he was like, okay, that's his favorite serial killer, which I don't like to say it's your favorite serial killer. It's kind of weird to say that.
He was a super fan.
Yeah, he was a super fan, which is super weird to say, but whatever. And he was like, oh, that's the most interesting case for me. I want to be part of it. So he emailed Father and asked him if he could be a part of it. And we were obviously saying, no, you can't. No, we weren't. And it was, and I remember I was shooting Eliza Lamb back then, and he called me and he was like, you know who wants to be a part of your music? And I was like, who? And he was like, Jonathan Davis. And I was screaming. I was like, holy, that's a dream come true, because he's one of my idols as well. I mean, I really look up to him.
Do you collect serial killer stuff yourself?
No, I don't.
No.
And I don't want to.
That's kind of a weird market, because you can buy stuff on the internet that
a friend of mine, he helped me get into the dark web. I wanted to do that all by myself, because it's kind of...
How do you get into the dark web?
You need to ask my friend. He has this special browser. So we went there, we just were like exploring, and you can even, you know, buy body parts as well. If you want to eat them, you can just buy it in like a supermarket. You can just buy a feet, you can buy a hand.
Oh.
Whatever you want.
And what's like the tastiest part of a human body?
I don't know. I haven't tried it.
neither have I.
It's weird to say that.
I've read interviews with people who have like tried eating human flesh, and they always say the same thing, that it tastes like...
It sounds like pork. It smells like pork, no?
Oh, really? Well, the ones I've heard all say that it tastes like chicken.
But what I heard is people saying it smells like pork, but whatever. I don't want to try it. It's okay.
Another one of your songs is about Eliza Lamb, mm-hmm. this Canadian woman who was a tourist in Los Angeles and disappeared from her hotel.
Yes, in 2013. Yep.
And what happened to her?
What really happened to her, we don't know. It's still a mystery. It's an unsolved case. My theory is that she played the elevator game. There's a Korean elevator game where you press the numbers like 4262-1051. And on the 10th floor...
426.
4262-1051. And on the 10th floor, like you do like floor 4, floor 2, floor 426... And then on the 10th floor, there is a lady appearing, and you're not allowed to look her in the eyes because she's taking you into another world and you won't ever get out. And that's my theory, because she ended up in a water tank, and it's still
on top of the building,
on
right?
top of the building. And you need a special, there are so many weird facts about this case. I mean, you need a special key to actually go up to the rooftop. She didn't have that key. Then the door from the water tank, just to open it all by yourself. Come on. She was such a skinny girl. How could she do that? So she needed help. She needed someone opening up for her, but it's still a mystery. But she wanted to get out. She had, you had like scratch marks of her nails. She really wanted to get out. So what really happened, we don't know. But the Cecil Hotel is a mystery itself as well. I mean, the Black Dahlia happened really close to the Cecil Hotel. Richard Ramirez planned some of his murders there.
The Night Stalker.
The Night Stalker.
And you wrote a song about him as well.
Yeah, I did. Yeah. Richard Ramirez was one of the first ones I finished. Because I sometimes it's hard for me finishing songs because of my ADHD. I like to start new projects and just go on with it. And then Father sometimes comes to me and he's like, we still have some songs to like finish. And I was like, fuck yeah, we have to. But yeah, Richard Ramirez was one of my first ones. So this next song is the Dying Cast from Enigma. Michael Cretu is a genius, in my opinion. Enigma was, I believe, one of the first new age music came out in the 80s already. And to me, this is timeless music. This album is from 2017, I believe. A great album. We need to listen to that one.
I used to listen to his wife, Sandra, a lot. I think she sings on a lot of the Enigma tracks as well. She had this track called I'll Never Be Maria Magdalena.
Yes.
That was huge when I was in high school.
Yes, yes. Oh, Sandra, she has such a special voice. Do you know that album of him?
No, I've never heard this album. It's called The Fall of the Rebel Angel.
Which is a reference to
Lucifer, I suppose.
Exactly. And you need to listen to Amen with Onkilo. I guess you call it Onkilo. It's super emotional, beautiful. Also the video, beautiful.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second-guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Are there any murder cases or other kinds of cases that you've tried to turn into songs but failed to?
Anders Breivik.
You tried to do a song about the Utøya massacre?
Yes.
Oh.
But I failed. I couldn't. When kids are involved, and it makes me now really emotional, when kids are involved, it's really hard to write a song about it. It's one of the saddest cases, and it happens, like, it was not long ago. And I tried to write it because it's still so heavy. This case is so heavy.
And it also differs from a lot of the other cases that you've written songs about, and that it was politically motivated. Yes. It wasn't just some act of lunacy. It was, political.
It was a political
motivated. It was a terrorist act.
Exactly.
So.
And this one is a hard one, yeah.
Yeah.
Also, Albert Fish, he was a killer as well. He killed children as well. And it's super hard to write about it. Like, young children being killed is just... Also, I tried to write a song about Chris Watts, who killed his wife and his two daughters and threw them down an oil tank. I don't know if you heard about that.
It
happened in America.
That, no.
And it's a really weird case because he was... So his wife and his children, he killed them. But the next day, he gave an interview and he was like, oh, please come back home. and please come back home. I really miss you. But he actually killed them a few hours before, which make it even more creepy that, you know, like, you know, that he killed his wife and children and then gave an interview being like, oh, I miss you guys so much. And then he wanted to start a new life with his mistress. So, yeah. But maybe one day. I just need this click. I need this one idea, and then I just go with the flow.
But if you're too shocked by it, like in the Utøya case,
it's not just shocked. It's being emotional. Being too emotional, and when I'm too emotional, I can't just stay with the facts. Then I get too emotional, and then I want to, like, you know, put into the lyrics like, I want to kill you, you fuck. But I can't. I want to stay true to the facts, and I only want to sing about the facts and not getting too emotional about it.
What about writing songs about, like, non-violent crimes, like credit card scams or embezzlement or tax fraud?
No.
Like true white collar?
No.
Crime music?
No.
No.
No. No, it's no. No. No, it does. You know, did that. It depends. It really depends. If it makes me creative, I will write it. But about tax fraud or something, it's like, no, it's not that brutal.
Maybe too common.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of people doing that. You know how many songs I have to write about those people?
Speeding on the highway. Yeah. Have you gotten any reactions from people who have been involved in any of the cases that you sang about?
No.
Because that's been a problem in the US, I know, because there's like a huge true crime explosion. Mm-hmm. There are hundreds of podcasts, a lot of documentaries.
Yeah.
And sometimes the victims' families feel that they've been exploited by some TV company. Because
mm-hmm.
they don't agree to an interview, but still there's a huge documentary mm-hmm. and there's really nothing they can do about it.
Mm-hmm. No, I haven't been contacted yet. But as said before, it's just funny that a lot of people tell me that I'm tasteless for making music about it, but Netflix producing like a super big documentary about it, making a lot of money with it, and that's okay. It's just... Yeah.
Also, it's not as if you're the first artist to sing about murder.
No.
If you look back, songs about real murders have been around for centuries.
Yeah,
you know, it's
exactly
like the whole murder ballad thing from the 19th century.
Exactly,
was basically the same thing that you're doing now.
Exactly, exactly. So I don't really see what's the point here. Maybe it's because I named the song title after the killer or the victim. Maybe that's super sensitive for some people or super triggering for some people. But I feel like it's about Richard Ramirez, for example. So why would I call the song I See You in Disneyland?
Maybe they get upset by the fact that, you know, and this is something that I guess makes you kind of unique. You know, Skinned is basically a fantasy. You have a secret identity. You don't really exist. But the people in your songs do exist.
They do, yeah.
Normally, it's the other way around. It's a real person singing about fantasies. But this is fiction singing about nonfiction.
I never actually really looked at it like that. Like you just said it. It makes total sense. Yeah. Funny. I never really thought about that.
I really enjoyed your song about Jim Jones, mm-hmm. the pastor or cult leader who was head of the People's Temple movement,
yeah.
This socialist church in mm-hmm. San Francisco.
Yeah.
And they moved to
Guyana.
And they committed mass suicide in 1978.
Yeah, with cyanide. Flavor-Aid cyanide, they drank it. Drink it, drink it, drink it. That's what he was saying. Drink it now. Do it, come on, do it now. And they were doing it. So also a super sad case when you think about it. And cults still exist, cults are still here, cults are all around us. I mean, you can just look at Scientology, for example. Still happens, still is here. And it's still something that, it's still a mystery to me. But if you get brainwashed like hardcore as Jim Jones did, maybe I would do it as well. I don't know.
It's funny, right before you arrived today, I was looking through my book about the Black Dahlia case, I found this flyer from the Church of Scientology.
No way!
I must have been reading that book when I was in LA, and then someone handed me a Scientology flyer. Mm. Here, come
That's
in.
For you.
This is a personality test.
And you're like, no, please don't. No, don't want that.
So, speaking of cult leaders, you still haven't touched on the most famous serial killer, at least in pop culture, Charles Manson. Mm-hmm. Is he like too...
No, not at
famous
all.
Famous or too...
No, but I need to be honest with you. I haven't really had an idea yet. I don't know how this song's going to sound like. I have, you know, when I write songs with Father, I have this idea in my head. I can hear it, you know. I have it in my brain, and then I'm just singing it. But I can't really hear anything for Charles Manson yet.
He's been mentioned in so many songs. He's really been done to death, in rock music.
And I feel like it's no need for me to actually cover that case. It's a really interesting one, but I think because I don't feel the need to actually cover it, maybe I didn't have that idea yet.
Also, the Manson girls are way more fascinating than he was.
Yeah, because he wasn't the killer, actually. You know, they were. But it's interesting because he used them as an instrument, and they were doing what he was telling them. With all the LSD and all that brainwash talk he did. But he was an interesting human being.
I have a friend who, like a couple of years ago, when the Tarantino movie came out,
Once Upon a Time in Hollywood, yeah.
he did a phone interview with Squeaky, who was one of the Manson girls.
Yep.
She wasn't involved in those murders back in 1969, but she tried to shoot Gerald Ford.
Exactly.
The U.S. president, mm-hmm. and she spent like a couple of decades in jail, and then she came out, and now she's still like out there preaching Charles Manson's environmental message, you know, mm-hmm. taking care of nature and saving the earth.
Yeah, but that's not a bad thing.
No, that's not a bad thing. But it's just that she told my friend that, well, you know, what Charlie and I were trying to do back in the 60s was exactly the same thing that Greta Thunberg is doing now. That's still a great quote.
With
a capital W.
Yes. Yes, so the next song is Birdcage by Holding Absence. I got introduced by it because I was nominated for Best Newcomer Artist, and they were actually winning another category, and I saw the live stream and I was immediately a fan of it because the singer has a beautiful voice and I love those songs. It's great songs.
And they're from Wales?
I think so. I'm not really informed about them, but I just like the music. And this song is on constant repeat. Love that song. And he can really sing. When he's playing live, great voice. And they're not really famous yet. So I thought maybe I want to talk about them. They're cool. Maybe one day we can collaborate with them. Maybe.
What kind of music are serial killers into? Because if you watch movies, you get the impression that they're very much into classical music.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost as if, you know, in movies... It's not rock music that turns you into
a
murderous maniac.
Music.
It's classical music because they're always very sophisticated. And I'm not sure if that, you know, if the Hannibal Lecter stereotype is true.
I think it's so classy.
It's
classy. It's like, you know, have you watched the series as well with Mick Mickelson?
What's his name?
Yes, Mads. Mikkelsen.
Mats Mikkelsen, yes. Yeah.
I mean, this guy embodies this kind of like classic with, you know, with the nice suits, and then he's listening to jazz or classic music, and then he's preparing his meal. This is an image you can sell, you know? This is something people really adore because it's this great guy, looking good guy, but super dark. And I think that's what we're drawn to because it's those opposites, you know? When you, if they would picture him in like a cellar and everything is like super gross and everything is full of blood and I don't know, and he looks super creepy and not, you can't sell it. But this is an interesting image, I feel like. And that's what people want to see. No?
Yeah, but it's not necessarily...
No, it's not, know, true. No. But it's that's yeah. what you can sell best.
Yeah.
But it's not the truth. Obviously not. I mean, look at, for example, Armin Meiwes. I don't know if you know him. The cannibal
from
Rotenburg.
Yeah. Yeah, I enjoyed the Rammstein song.
Same, Mein Teil. Yeah,
Mein Teil.
Yeah, great song. But I mean, if you see I saw some police photos they took from the crime scene. If you imagine, that's how it looks like.
And it didn't look like Mats Mikkelsen.
No. It was gross. It was bleh. But yeah, this is how it really looks like. That's the truth.
Darn cannibals. Why can't they just be more sophisticated?
Yeah, like, come on. Be more classy. We don't ask for much. We just be more classy.
Do you think it's healthy to be really, really obsessed with serial killers?
No, I don't think so.
So where do you draw the line?
I don't. I really don't. I mean, that's why I have to write about it. That's what I said in the beginning. I have to get it off my chest. And that's how I can, you know, cope with it better, I would say. But I don't think it's, what's healthy and what's not. It depends on every individual. I don't think it's healthy to be constantly investigating those cases because it's super dark. But somehow I'm able to do it and I'm still here and I'm still sane somehow.
Sane-ish.
Sane-ish, yeah. But, yeah. I mean, who am I to judge? I don't know.
Yeah, you told me that Jonathan Davis had kept the screwdriver of...
Yeah, and he's a cool dude. I mean, he's
and I can kind of relate to that. You know, I could imagine myself collecting serial killer memorabilia, but I'm also I don't really want to become that person.
Same. That's why I mean it's interesting. I mean, it's interesting to actually hold it and you know that, for example, Gary Heidnik with the screwdriver, you hold it and you know what he was doing. But I don't want to own it.
I read somewhere that the true crime genre is mainly consumed by women.
Yeah.
Apparently, 75% of the listeners who turn to true crime podcasts in the US are female.
Mm-hmm. Funny that the main listeners I have are male.
Wow.
And female. Yeah, I have more male listeners than female listeners. I was surprised about it too, because I know about that fact too.
So why do men like true crime in music and women prefer true crime in podcasts?
I don't know. I don't know. Maybe, I don't know. Maybe because I'm a girl and I sing about it. I don't know. I really don't know. But I get the fascination. I get why women read about it. I mean, I have a lot of friends and they're all like, oh my God, it's so interesting to read about it. And mostly of them are women.
Someone wrote that women might be trying to develop survival skills by listening to true crime podcasts.
Yes.
They worry about, you know, serial killers or violence.
Yeah, yeah. Maybe we're like this typical victim, you know, like female is more like, it's the wrong thing to say, especially nowadays, but I feel like women get more... are more like the victims of a serial, you know what I mean? Like, we have this, like, walking home at night, for example, as a woman, you always turn around. You're always like, oh, I'm a bit afraid. And maybe that's where the fascination comes from, because you're sitting in your bed or you're laying in your bed and then you read like the true crime book and you know nothing's going to happen to me. Beside in my fantasy, when I think about it, maybe I get murdered or whatever, but you're in your safe space and you read or you watch the documentary and you're like, no, I'm fine. But when you go outside and you walk home in the dark, you're like, oh, maybe there is a serial killer somewhere.
And that's kind of sad, because statistically,
yes,
men are way more likely to get murdered, or not raped maybe, but, you know, victims of violence.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
But guys are stupid, so they get super drunk and they walk home and they go like, you know, whatever. I'm okay.
Whatever.
They'll just drop their pants and, you know.
Yeah, whatever.
Whatever. Yeah. Yeah. What kind of fans do you have?
I don't like to call them fans, because it makes me, I don't know, it makes me kind of like blush a little.
Followers.
But like, I would say supporters, because they support me from the beginning. I have all kind of supporters, like, I really don't know them personally, but I'm in this fan group. We call them the Skindicate.
The Skinder Kids.
The Skindicate. The Skindicate. Skindicate. Yeah. And it's the supporters group, or the fan group of Skinned, and it's all kind of people, like in all age and female, male, whatever. It's a lot of them are just normal people, and that's I really like that. It's like because before I was like, maybe I'm gonna get a real backlash because what I'm doing, writing music about true crime, but those people really get it. And I love that they get it and that they support me from day one. But I can't say like, okay, I don't know. They're normal people to me.
Do you sometimes worry that some deranged super fan will kidnap you and throw you in a pit and be like, it puts the lotion on its skin, or it also gets the hose again?
Yeah.
That would be so sad.
This is super sad. Skin got kidnapped. Fuck. No, I try not to think about that.
Maybe you shouldn't.
No, I shouldn't. There's a change of pace of fantasy and taste. So the next song is Billy Idol, Flesh for Fantasy. I started listening to Billy Idol again after the American Horror Story season 9. It was 1984 or 1986, and they're playing that song, and I was listening to that song and I was like, fuck yeah, that's such a great song.
So when will you call? I'm experienced. Oh yeah. Face to face and back to back. You see and feel my sex attack. Say it. Rush. Rush for fantasy.
We were home. So what's happening with the Skinned in the near future? You will be back here in Stockholm in February, hopefully, to play at Nalen.
Yes. Yeah, we're going on tour next year, finally. I mean, we're working on the live show. I'm writing new music, and that's what I'm up to right now. But I'm really focusing on the live show, because that's really important to me. I don't want to let down my supporters. And I have time now, you know, I have a lot of time right now to actually focus on live show and writing. And that's what I'm doing. I would love to actually play more right now, but it's just not possible for me.
Are you doing a video for the John Wayne Gacy track?
Obviously, yeah. Already did it.
With you as a clown?
Nope. No, I really don't want to give away anything from the video, because it's still a surprise and it's going to be something really new to Skinned. It's different to any other video we have done before. That's what I can tell you, or that's what I can give away. Yeah.
I noticed your Mickey Mouse tattoo.
Yeah, I got it new because I love Mickey Mouse. But this one I did because of Richard Ramirez, because of the song. Because I sing I'll See You in Disneyland. That's what he said when he went to prison. He said, I'll see you in Disneyland.
It's so weird because the first person I knew who had a tattoo, I grew up in Linköping, a town south of Stockholm. And one of my friends got himself a tattoo back in 1987.
Mm-hmm.
And everyone was talking about it. Mm-hmm. You know, some guy got a tattoo. No one had tattoos back then.
Wow.
And he had Mickey Mouse on the exact same spot on his arm.
No way.
So it's so weird to see.
It's like a sketch of Mickey Mouse. It was a drawing, like a sketch drawing.
Is he your favorite comic book character?
Yeah. Yeah. Minnie and Mickey Mouse. I love it. But also, like, I'm a huge fan of Alice in Wonderland. Because the story is just so weird and so, like, this psychedelic story. Like,
it's so druggy.
It's super druggy. And the cat, what's her name? The Cheshire Cat. Oh, huge fan. When it gets weird, I'm all for it. Like, if it gets super weird and druggy, that's that. Like, The Wizard of Oz. I mean,
that's my favorite movie.
I love it.
But I sort of rediscovered it when I was in my late teens after watching David Lynch's Wild at Heart, which is so, there are so many connections between The Wizard of Oz and Wild at Heart.
Yeah. So I haven't really watched it, but I know about it. But The Wizard of Oz, yeah, obviously, yeah.
What are your favorite horror movies?
Oh, there are a lot. I mean, I saw what you had there, the Texas Chain Massacre.
Yeah, the old one.
VHS I would love
copy.
To watch that or rewatch it because I already saw it. But my favorite horror movie. There are new ones out there. I don't know if you saw it. Hereditary.
Hereditary. Yeah.
Dude, that one when she loses her head and you're like, but it's like in the middle of the or in the beginning of the movie and you're like. Huh? I thought she's the weirdo. And then she loses her head. That one was really, really nice. I love all American Horror Story seasons. Huge fan of Ryan Murphy. Like, this dude is just a genius. I like the original Ring movies. There are some Japanese horror movies better than the Americans. In my opinion, they're more brutal. They're more, like, real.
Have you been asked to appear in a horror movie?
Oh, I would.
That would
totally
be perfect.
I've never been asked to, but I would totally do it. I mean, if Ryan Murphy would come up and be like, do you want to be a part of American Horror Story? I was like, yeah, sure. Come on. Hello. No. Yeah, I would totally do that. Yeah.
Well, let's hope someone asks you.
Yes.
Thank you for coming here, Skin. It's been a true pleasure to have you
Thank
here.
Thank you so much and, for having me.
Keep up the evil workers. No, that's come off.
Keep writing true crime music?
Oh, yes, that's what I meant.
That's what you meant, yeah.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Den här podcasten producerades av Daniel Bäckström för Lejon Media. Skind var hemma hos Drage.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
Hey everyone, Craig Robinson here. I want you to check out the Ways to Win podcast, brought to you by Ford and the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. On Ways to Win, Coach Cal and I will discuss leadership lessons we've learned. We know all about the days spent perfecting your craft outside of the limelight and have knowledge to share about how strength, inspiration, encouragement, and adaptability are the key ingredients to drive toward your dreams. And those same ingredients can be found in the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. So check out my podcast, Ways to Win, and also check out the new 2024 Ford F-150 truck. Learn more at Ford.com. Built Ford tough, built Ford proud.